You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. You're listening to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you to look ahead to the M2M Russian Open and the Deutsche Bank Championship on the agenda this week. First of all, though, we've got to, Mike, reflect on Jason Day's performance last week at the Barclays. 73 under par he is now for his last 20 rounds. Fourth win on the PGA Tour this season, and people talking about it being the big three all of a sudden.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, Dave. He deserves to be in the same grouping as McIlroy and Spieth, doesn't he? He's absolutely top three in the world with Bubba. Rightly so forth, I think. But those three are putting themselves a bit apart at the moment. Very young, very good for the game. Day's been spectacular and really starting to fulfil all that promise that he had. Because he was a bit of a non-winner for a while, wasn't he? Without any question, but he's put it all together now and he's really right at the top end of the game.
He is indeed, Dave Tindall. It was some performance and I mean, he's not in the Player of the Year talks, really, because Jordan Spieth's two major championship wins and his performance in the other two make him the standout candidate in that category. But he's number three at the moment.
Yeah, what if he won all these playoff events? That'd be a tricky one, wouldn't it?
No, it'd still be Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, two majors and second and a third in majors.
Majors are bigger than these playoff events, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely.
I was thinking if he won seven.
But it would be wrong if he was in the running, because Spieth's performance there is just amazing, isn't it, really? You know, even Tiger at his best.
He might never do that again. This might be absolute history we've seen this year. But they'll never see that again.
Probably pretty doubtful he'll ever do it again, in truth. Two wins, a second and a third, am I right there?
Second and a fourth, was it?
It was fourth when but he was only a shot outside the playoffs. He was fourth in the Open.
Yeah, that's right, he was fourth, wasn't he? That's right, three in the playoff, yeah. I mean, that's just astonishing, really. So, as well as Day's play, don't want to take anything away from him. The other fella deserves it this year, for sure.
What about the man that won the Czech Masters as well? We must mention him, Thomas Peters.
I don't think he deserves it.
He's not in the talks, is he? He's not in the talks. But it's happened a couple of times this year, Mike, where a player that you've got a lot of time for and that you've picked on previous podcasts has come up in
the wrong event, one of these supporting
events.
At times it was a bit frustrating. Bizarrely enough, he was the only player's name I wrote down on my sheet for that event. But then I looked at his missed cut. Last year, missed the cut in that event last year, you know.
What did he go off this time?
66, I think he was.
Really?
In a field like that, you know, it's just one of those things, isn't it? But yes, I was praying he wouldn't win, to be fair. But he was in pretty decent, reasonable form beforehand, but that missed cut, I just thought, you know, maybe it's just one of those things. Well, I'm not the only one to have picked him this year, though. I think we all have at various times. He's a bit of a podcast favourite, wasn't he? And to not have him in such a poor event at a decent price is probably just one of those points.
Keep the faith a little bit, haven't you?
Let's get stuck into this week. We'll start with the M2M Russian Open. Why not? Maximilian Kiefer is at the top of the betting here.
He's 9-1. Maximilian Kiefer's 9-1. He's a player I really like, but not at 9-1.
He's made 19 cuts out of 19. I think that's why, clearly, he's had in a better, he's had a few knocks at it, but 9-1. He's never even won.
Some people in the golf betting fraternity enjoy these sort of events and like these types of events more than the high profile ones.
I actually understand that, but it's not for me.
It's not for me. Exactly. Yeah.
You could argue that Peter's victory at that price is kind of indication of that approach, isn't it? Because we maybe get put off by him being 66, but actually in that field it was a bloody good price, wasn't it? You know. You just look and that's a bit of a shocker. 9-1,
Bradley Dredge at 12.
I'll spin you through these prices
Have you got a pick, Dave?
I have not got a pick.
You were coming to the point that you didn't think I would either, and I haven't.
No, I didn't think.
I haven't even written anyone down for this week because I thought if I do and then win and I don't back them all, I'll shoot myself.
9-1 Kiefer, Bradley Dredge 12-1, David Horsey 12-1, Michael Hoey 14-1, Robert Dinwiddie is 16, Scott Jamieson 25-1, 33-1 Craig Lee, Jacques Blau, Yang Yung Wang and Keith Horn, and it's 40-1 and bigger the remainder. It's not. Yeah. It's not an event.
It's got to be Dave Tindall having the only bet in this, isn't it? Don't you think?
I've no bet in this.
The, no bet.
The only one I'd say on
glad
the,
to hear
on
it.
The theory that you kind of spot a bit of extra class would be another favourite of ours. Where's he gone there? 40-1, Kevin Phelan. The one who you might look back in a couple of years and think, God, did he go off at 40-1 in that rubbish field?
No, I can see that
in a kind of in a Peters style, you know. Yeah. The theory's a lot better than these, isn't he?
Yeah, I think that's the theory that some people go under, isn't it? It's a lot easier to win these events than staying the obvious.
So he sort of dropped in class for what he could be anyway, and then...
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. The name next to him on the list there, Lee Slattery, is another one who's a tour winner who could be better than this field, but it's not the best.
I quite like Hoey. Hoey's not at that price, though, in that Hoey's won 5 times on the European Tour, and he's won this event.
Yeah, a couple
of
years ago.
Oh, it was 25s, but not 14s.
No. I'll just spin you through a little bit of information if you're looking to have a bet here about the golf tournament.
Could you do it in Russian? It is past 71.
It might be more fun in Russian. It would be more interesting, without a doubt. It was part of the tour, this tournament, from 2003 to 2008, then fell from the schedule, brought back to life, thankfully, in 2013 when Michael Hoey won and last year David Horsey came out on top. The venue has changed for this edition though, Dave.
Yes.
They've moved to a Jack Nicklaus design, not a golf course we've seen on the tour before.
Yeah, is it Kosolovo?
I think that's close. It's Skolkovo.
That's it, yeah. That mine's an anagram of it. Skolkovo. And all. Think of the old lager. I did read a quote from a member of course, he said, I can't go on like this. He said there was going to be a lot of birdie and eagle, etc.
Sorry to all our Russian listeners for this.
Yeah. I spoke about Russian. Как вас зовут? Меня зовут David. You can say that as well.
Is that my name is David?
Yeah, what is your name? My name is David.
Very good.
Very nice.
Educational.
I feel a bit left out.
I don't. I'm happy unless I have a
okay. Is that it? So there's no bets, basically?
There's no bets, no.
And it's an event that we...
It's a Nicklaus design, which I'm guessing then means there's room off the tee and stuff like that.
And a second shot course and all that kind of thing. Yeah. I didn't realise he designed courses in Russia, but there you go.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I'm not sure how much time he might would have
spent there. He will have probably just put his name to it, won't he, and said, go out and design this golf course for me, perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get on to the meat then of this week's podcast, the Deutsche Bank Championship, which is obviously the second event in the FedEx Cup and the feature. Jason Day is the 6-1 favourite for this event. Rory McIlroy 7-1. Jordan Spieth is 8-1. Dustin Johnson and Henrik Stenson both 14s. Justin Rose is 16-1 and Bubba Watson 20s. It's 33-1 and bigger the remainder. Firstly, for the UK audience that might not be aware, because it's Labour Day weekend stateside, this tournament starts on Friday and finishes on Labour Day on Monday. It is the second of the FedEx Cup events, and we've got a bit of continuity this week, Mike, with this tournament returning to TPC Boston once again. Hosted the event since its inception back in 2003, originally designed by Arnold Palmer, but was significantly modified by Gil Hans in 2007. That hasn't stopped these PGA Tour professionals scoring, though. This is a very low-scoring track.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
3 times in the last 7 years, the winning total has been 22 under par, so it's a real birdie fest, this one.
2 of the last 3 above 20 under or lower, wasn't it? Last year, 15, a little bit higher scoring than normal, but it's definitely a bit of a birdie fest, isn't it? So I would say, you need to be rather obviously holding some putts and hitting the greens in reg and holding putts. I think it doesn't seem to be a course that particularly favours distance or even accuracy off the tee, would you say?
I think length is definitely more important than hitting fairways around here. You look at when McIlroy won, he barely hit 50% of the, I think he was just over 50% of the fairways for the week. Stenson's won here, Phil Mickelson's got a good record here. I think I'd favour the bomber over the accurate type personally, But I suppose it's how you interpret those stats, Dave.
Like my first port of call was just looking at the par breaker stats, which is birdies and eagles and double eagles or whatever they call them. But and it just happened to be the three I picked are bombers. Mm. I don't know whether that's... You more like to get bombers in birdie leaders.
Not necessarily, but yeah, sometimes they play the easiest courses can be...
You just get good players in birdie leaders, don't you, generally?
Couple of picks for me. Mike?
Two.
Mr. Tindall?
I'm going to go three.
Okay, you tee us off then here.
Well, if you look at the par breaker list...
You should have had the honour, Dave, because you got Zach Johnson placed.
Yeah, he did place last week.
Yeah, didn't mention that. You got placed, didn't he,
that
for
was,
you?
Yeah, that was nice at 50-1. He couldn't live with Jason Day, but no one could last week, so it was good to get a place.
And no one can live with him this week as well.
Are you going with him?
In Jason Day again.
So I mentioned par breakers. Well, guess who's number one? He is, top of the par breakers. I did a bit of counting on my fingers, and the average winning score for the last 7 years in this event is minus 19. Exactly the total he won with last week.
Yep.
And then he won with minus 20 in the USPGA. Mm. His other one, Canada, minus 17. It's not like he's winning these sort of really hard ones. He's winning when it's a bit of a birdie fest. I did pick up a quote of his when they asked him after he'd won the Barclays. He wasn't just saying, "Oh, yeah, that's good, isn't it? And I'm just going to enjoy that." He said, "I'm really looking forward to this. It's a course I absolutely love." So without really knowing his form here, I guessed it would be good, and it is. He's got a second, a third, a seventh. So there's no real reason why I can't see him just ploughing on and winning again.
Okay.
He seems to be that far in terms of absolute current form bang right now. He seems to be that far in front of everybody. Spieth's gone off the boil a little bit. Rory's coming back from injury, and they're obviously helping his price. Say they were taken out, it'd be, you know, a lot shorter, obviously. So even though 6-1 looks a bit weird, I'm happy just to put a win bet on that to sort of kick me off.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
6-1. It was an intriguing top of the market,
I
thought.
Did you pick him last week, Dave?
No,
you didn't.
One other thing quickly on that one. You look at the four playoff events and you think, oh, there's so many good players, they'll share them out. But so often you get a player winning two of them.
It's remarkable, that, isn't it? How often two... I think so, five of the last 8 years.
Well, eight. They've doubled up. They played at eight years of these FedEx Cup playoffs. So a player has got two of the four 6 times. And 5 of those have been back to back.
That's weird, isn't it, though?
Yeah. Billy Horschel last year, the latest to do it.
Yeah.
Vijaygas even did it. Tiger did it. Rory did it. Mm. It's just kind of, you know, you get hot, you stay hot. That seems to be the mantra in this event.
Okay, Jason
Day.
Playoffs. Yeah, 6-1, Jason Day to win the championship. As I was mentioning, it was intriguing. It was always going to be intriguing to see how they sorted out Jason Day, Rory McIlroy and Jordan Spieth at the top of the betting, only 2 points separating them. 6-1 Day, 7-1 McIlroy, Spieth at 8-1 here with William Hill. And I'm not sure which one I'd go for those.
Well, I've gone for Rory, I think.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. I think he's very good on this course.
You'll have to do Spieth then, Dave.
Yeah, we should have the winner if we do that. First and fifth here in the last two of the last 3 years. You know, what was a very good top 20 in the USPGA, given that he's just come back from injury. I just think Rory does very well at the same course, doesn't he, year after year?
Yes.
He is that kind of horses for courses guy. He's not actually in a lot of the stats because he hasn't played enough on tour, but if he was, he'd be top 10 for strokes gained tee to green, for birdie average, for par breakers, and for greens in regulation. Strokes game putting would be on it. His only one weakness this year, where he probably would be a bit further down had he played enough qualifying events. But I have a feeling that he'll be absolutely raring to go after that top 20 in the PGA. And then watching Day and Spieth stealing a lot of his limelight, I'm sure he'll be very focused and want to win this one. And of course, where he plays ever so well, I really fancy his chance.
Rory McIlroy 7-1. I can see that. I'm going with your man this week, Mr. Tindall. I'm going Brooks Koepka as my...
Thank goodness I didn't
dare pick him again.
No, I'm following off a cliff here.
He's my number one player this week. I think 40-1's big.
You're taking Dave's poster off him?
Yeah, I'm taking that. That's going on my bedroom wall, that poster.
For this week.
I've got a reason why I didn't pick him this week, but let's go with your positives first.
As mentioned last week, I thought he was short 22s, 25s.
Yeah, yeah.
He's 40-1 in this field. And even with Rory McIlroy, as Mike's mentioned, bolstering the lineup this week, I think this venue, I think personally this venue is much more to his liking.
Yeah, no, I agree on that front.
The miscut, I think, could be a blessing in disguise for Koepka. He'd played 14 of the 18 previous weekends, and it has been a grueling schedule for him. Not something that he's commented on personally, but it means he's played a lot of golf, and I'm hoping that that missed weekend last weekend was a blessing in disguise coming in here, and he comes in refreshed.
Yep.
Three par fives, one of them very long, a few juicy par fours on this golf course as well, and those should play into his hands. I see this as a venue where he can smash it around as well, because I don't see driving accuracy as a big factor. Looking to make that President's Cup team and not be a pick either, which I think is a big motivational pointer for Brooks Koepka. Like the price, it's a price play more than anything, so I'm going Brooks Koepka at 40s.
Do you want to know my
negative? Yeah, go on, I do.
I read after, you know, what, is it the Wyndham, the one before?
Yeah.
Yeah, which he should have won. And when he was interviewed afterwards, he said, that's the worst I've ever putted as a pro. He had a big minus strokes game putting stat, and he had another stroke minus strokes game putting stat last week. So I think the putter's gone off.
He's just gone off the boil.
Putter's gone cold on him.
Okay.
No,
that's fair comment.
No reason why I can't get it back, but it's just that enough to put me off.
Yep. No, fair comment. 40 to 1, Brooks Koepka. Mr. Tindall, your next pick?
Yeah, price I really like. Talk about price, a bit of value. I think Tony Finau at 80s. I think this is a brilliant course for Tony Finau. If you're looking for someone who whacks it a mile and makes tons of birdies. He's ninth in par breaker, seventh in birdie average. He's made the second most number of birdies on tour this year, 415, I think it is. He's obviously playing great, isn't he? Mm. He's a bit frustrating in that he's not turning these good finishes into sort of payouts. So if you keep backing him each way, you're getting near but not close enough.
Which is the most frustrating type of golfer.
I mean, for example, he was tied 10th, wasn't he, in the USPGA. I mean, you can still back him in these other markets, I guess, but surely if he keeps putting himself there, he's had 10 top 25s in his last 12 events. I just like him, he's a dude, isn't he? Just sort of strolls around, he doesn't get flustered. He, last hole, 72nd hole last week, he drove the green and not tapped him, but stroked in a 7-footer for eagle. So I just think he's in a nice
he's
sort of frame of mind.
As well. I like
he's a good putter,
I like
he's got
putting.
Positive strokes going putting stats. Mm. And I just was thinking, where can I play him in the next few weeks? This looks a great one to play him. So that 80 to 1, if they put him in at 50s, I don't think you could have particularly argued. But 80s seems a very nice price to me.
Tony Finau, Dave's second pick, 80 to 1.
Yeah, I'm not so sure as you two are that distance is that important here, I have to say. I think when you look at the top 10s here over the years, it's a bit more of a blend, isn't it? Of I hear what you're saying. It never happens to hit it a long way and straight, does it? So, and then hit the green and with your second shot. But I'm not as bothered about that. So I wouldn't rule out people like Jim Furyk or Zach Johnson from playing well here. Particularly Furyk seems to have a decent record at this track. But I've gone for a player who's reasonable length. Don't get me wrong, as my second pick. Clearly Rory's long. I'm going to give Russell Henley another try. Tipped him last week when he actually finished last of those that made the cut. He played really badly from the second round onwards. But in the hope that that was a bit of an aberration, I'm hoping that he bounces back to form here on a course where he was a very good second last year, played ever so well, just behind Chris Kirk last year here. Top 30 for birdie averaging, very close to that for par breaking, top 5 for strokes gained putting. Greens and regulation stats, as I said last week, over the season are amazing, but they've been pretty good lately. Mm. And he's just been in decent form until that run last week, which was a bit out of the blue. I don't really know what happened to him there. 66 to 1, I'm willing to give him another try. I just think he just did seem to suit the course really well last year. So if he can put as well as that, I would give him every chance.
Good stuff. Russell Henley, 66 to 1. I'm going for a player at 66 as well for my final selection here. I'm going Ryan Palmer at 66 to 1. For those that don't know, Ryan Palmer's father tragically passed away in a car accident on the 18th of August, but Palmer was keen to play in the Barclays last week in memory of his father, and he played very well, finishing sixth in the end and ranked second in the week for the all-around stats, so it shows that his game's in pretty good order. Got three top 20 finishes here at this golf course and has shot some very low numbers here in the past. I'll actually be having a little look at him. He's 66-1 in the first round leader market here. And he's played this event 9 times in total, led twice last year and on debut in 2004, and placed once as well. He was third in the first round leader market when shooting 64 in the opening round back in 2010. It's just one of those markets where, because it's a Friday start, I do like to see the draw before I play in the first round leader market, because sometimes there is a discrepancy between who gets the best of it. But
draw on the weather, yeah.
Yeah, definitely look at him at 66-1 in that market. I don't think anybody really knows how he's going to perform this week, but last week he talked about the calmness he felt inside the ropes compared to when he wasn't playing, and that's when he was suffering most. Hopefully he can perform again this week for Palmer and his family, and he likes this course as well. And another thing that Palmer does very well is string performances together. He's historically a very streaky player. You look at his profile, he goes back to back often and puts in good runs. So I'm hoping that he can back up what he did last week at the Barclays when he finished tied sixth, and come good this week at 66-1. So I'll play my point each way.
Yeah, very good.
Final pick.
Yeah, final pick. I was just looking for those par breaker stats again, just seeing if there's anyone in there in the top 20 who's like a big, big old price. And I'd landed on Brendan Steele at 125-1. He's 16th in par breakers. So that was the initial kind of, let's delve a bit deeper. Well, he missed a cut last week, but last week it was at Plainfield, wasn't it?
Yes.
And the last time it was at Plainfield, he also missed a cut. So you kind of think maybe that's not the course for him. But he bounced back from that missed cut 4 years ago with a tied 10th in this event. And he was actually second going into the final round. So I think this is a good course for him. Then he was 20th the next time he played it. So it's just a case of, I think this is a good course for him. I remember Charlie Hoffman won this event at a similar price, I think, 125s.
Yep.
On similar grounds, he's like a bit of a birdie machine. So that was it, really. Just looking for a bit of three-figure value. Mm. 125.
In decent form before Brendan that, wasn't Steele. He?
Yeah, he played well in the USPGA as well.
Yeah, I get that.
And he's just been saying he feels a lot better.
If he gets his putter hot, he's yeah. I think that's... because he can put well, and when he does put well, he's a force. He said he needs to do it more consistently,
yeah,
I guess.
He said he feels better coming into these playoffs than he had done. Well, he didn't prove it last week, but I honestly think that was the course. Hmm. Again, you know, like you said with Koepka, he might just freshen him up a little bit.
I had in my mind with Henley that he needs to have a decent performance this week to stay in the FedEx Cup, and Steele's probably the same, isn't he? So they have got quite a lot of incentive at any rate.
I was convinced, Mike, and we've got through the picks now. We've gone to the honourable mentions. I've got it written down here. We always like to guess who each other are going to go for. I thought you were certainty to go for Bubba Watson.
He doesn't play that well here, though, does he?
I was wanting to back him, and I looked at his record and thought, that's a surprise.
It should be quite a good fit for him. He just got...
But it's not,
He's in such great form, isn't he? And last week he just got frustrated and annoyed. It was almost a typical Bubba performance. He's playing fantastically well.
Yeah, to be fair to Bubba, everyone's going to talk about the top three in the world, but he's not a million miles behind them. You know, if he won a couple of big tournaments, everyone would be rating him right up there. You know, I know he's a bit older than the others, but he's playing at that level, isn't he?
It's funny how quickly things change in the world of golf, isn't it? Yeah. Because when Ricky Fowler won that Players' Championship, everyone was saying, he's the next to step up to the plate and challenge McIlroy and Spieth. And then 3 months later, he's 40-1 in the betting and Jason Day is 6-1. I'm not saying Jason Day is a bad price, but I'm saying things change very quickly, don't they?
I looked at Fowler just at that price. I think he was next on my list, Fowler, I think.
It's been such a feast or famine season for Fowler, but 40-1's a sneaky price, sneakily decent price, I think, for Fowler.
And his record at the course is a bit
iffy. It is a bit iffy.
And I ploughed back through the ASAP.com player quotes, and I did find one where he said he's a couple of tee shots trouble him.
Oh, right, okay.
So I was just thinking maybe there was nothing sort of, I love this course in there, so just enough to sort of think.
Giving up on Phil Mickelson?
I nearly did him last week at 66.
No, you did, that's why I asked.
He just looks flat. He just didn't.
He started off with 4 birdies in his first 5 holes, didn't he?
Phil Mickelson was leading last week.
I looked at Phil Mickelson closely this week, actually. As Dave mentioned, either on last week's podcast or a few weeks ago, you think his flourishes might be less frequent than they have been in the past nowadays. But this is a course that he loves, isn't it?
He's won here, hasn't he?
Yeah, so, he does love it here. Mm.
I still think he'll go from maybe a tenth here to a win. I don't think he's going to do it in one jump.
Right. Okay.
I'm waiting for sort of a little nod, because he plays well at Eastlake, doesn't he? The final one. That's a good event for him. Mm. If he's still going by then, he's probably in a little bit of trouble, is he? I'm not sure where he is on the
list.
Yes, but if he shows enough, and I think I will just look for that sort of bridging tournament.
If we had any internet in the room, we could check.
Yeah.
Any others worthy?
We're live from Russia, where isn't it? <we?
laughs> Bunkered away. Any others worthy of mention?
No, not massively for me, Dave. Those were those two. I suppose if I was to mention anyone, this is a course that Bill Haas has shown some form in the past. But he's just a bit up and down at the moment. I thought he was really coming into form.
He's got that President's Cup dilemma thing there, hasn't he? His dad's not going to pick him, is he? That'll look terrible.
He shouldn't anyway, should he? Not at the moment, because he is up and down. You know, he's not finishing the job, is he, at the moment? So,
But on the other hand, he'd love to be on his dad's team, though, wouldn't he? Absolutely love to be. And this is his last chance.
But, No, so he was the closest for me. Anyone for you?
I like Jason Duffner a little bit this week. He's coming
wrong
back.
Jason D.
Yeah, wrong Jason D. He's coming back into a little bit of form, Duffner. Mm. Obviously, it's been a season filled with turmoil for Duffner.
Matsuyama at 40s again, a sort of, in other weeks he'd be 25s or 28s, and now he's 40s.
Yeah, he's
came back, did all right last week after
I
a
think
little...
he's flattered to deceive a little bit me, Matsuyama, the last couple of months.
Let's rewind some of these podcasts when you're raving about him.
I've been raving about him in the past. I've not picked him recently, though.
I picked him in the PGA where he played a little bit better than his finishing position suggests. I think he had a treble bogey late in one of the final rounds. But, he's... Well, look, it's hard to see beyond the top three to some degree, isn't it? Henrik Stenson also plays very well here. Yeah. We haven't mentioned him yet.
He's won it before, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Played well last week.
So there's plenty of them in with a chance.
Well, if one of the top three wins, as long as it's not Jordan Spieth, we'll be happy.
Well, it could
week.
Easily be him, though, couldn't it? We haven't talked about him a lot, but he did play pretty horrendously last week when I was watching it. It was on the feature group stuff, wasn't it?
Missed a few of those short ones.
All over the place, yeah. And his play generally was...
I just think the magic's gone just for a little while, for a few weeks.
Well, 1 week, because he was second the week before, wasn't it? Potentially, but it could be that, couldn't it? It could be that his run is over. But I'd be a bit harsh to discount him totally wouldn't it? You wouldn't be shocked, Dave, would you?
No, you can't. Standing
up there with a big smile and his Under Armour cap on Monday evening.
But I do think they've priced that up right. I would make him third favourite this week on this course, I think, given what everyone else is doing.
I find it hard to separate any of those three guys at the top of the betting, but we'll see. It's a fascinating week.
7-1 is a very short price for me to tip someone, but I just think I just have a feeling Rory's going to win this.
You think he's going to be fired up, don't you?
I do. Yeah, I really do.
It could well happen. Let's recap the selections then. No bets in the M2M Russian Open from us here in the studio. Feel free to have a bet at home though. Dave, your three picks for the American event.
Yeah, so 6-1, Jason Day. What win only?
You've got to go win only, haven't you?
5 points, 4 points.
Yeah, that confident?
Ooh. Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'll go 5 then. Why not? What the heck? And then just I'll go half a point each way on the other two. Tony Finau at 80s and Brendan Steele at 125s. I'm going to wait my staking plan for Day.
Yeah,
I'm going to have 73 points win on McIlroy. No one keeps counting anyway.
You've got
say whatever you like, and if they win, I had 73 points on him.
I'm in profit for the next decade. Yeah,
20 magic beans.
You can trump Dave now.
I wouldn't be because 71 is a bit short. I wouldn't be quite as bullish as Dave. I'd probably go a couple of points. Win only.
Yeah, that speaks volumes.
he might be right. Yeah, just
and your other pick, Mike.
I'll have 50 points each way on. No, I've been silly now. I'll have on Russell Henley. I'm not as confident on that, obviously, because he did play poorly last week. But that price could look massive if he gets a good run going. So point each way on him, probably.
Okay. I'm going a point each way on both my picks. Brooks Koepka at 40-1 and Ryan Palmer at 66-1. Who's the player that came closest to being picked?
The player that came closest, probably... Tricky one, that. Someone I hadn't mentioned earlier, but could just come bounce back to form here. Again, played really well here last year and played really well in the playoffs. Billy Horschel, I should have mentioned him earlier. He could look big, couldn't he? He's just gone off the boil a bit.
His putting's been dreadful,
I think. Yeah, I'd share that. I think he might have missed his last two cuts, so I couldn't pick him. Of the favourites, you're probably right, I'd be kicking myself slightly, Bubba won, but no, I'm happy enough with the picks I've got.
My guy, yeah, the one to win. I think Fowler's the one that I'd pick at the prices, 40-1, Dave. Yeah.
Koepka for me. I know you've picked him, but I just... Forget that's
happened.
You've
ditched him, to be fair, Dave. Don't be, you know, it's your own fault.
No comeback if he goes out and wins this.
You've given me that poster.
Yeah.
You're not it back. No matter what happens now.
Yeah, he's mine. I saw him first.
And the dear Dave thing still applies, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, everyone. And remember, you can download this on Audio Boom as well. Check us out on Twitter, at dkellner, at mgrenham, at Dave Tyndall Golf. And we'll all be back next week, or at least a couple of us will, because I know we've got a hiatus, haven't we, on the FedEx Cup? So just the one European event next week.
Oh, is it really? Yeah.
The KLM Open. KLM.
We'll have to do that just so we can do our Dutch accents.
Yeah, obviously.
For no other reason.
Is that similar to your Russian one?
Yeah, very similar. It's very slight. Just a slight variance.
For sure.
Yeah, those with a sharp ear can tell the difference.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the podcast, and we'll be back again next week. Speak soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.